Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
The initial, keyword initial, 53-man roster is set here for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's always fun keeping track from when they go to 91 players to 53 players. Fun for us, not so fun for the players, obviously, around the league who are hoping to land NFL jobs, land on rosters, and now have to find probably other avenues to play professional football. But as far as the Eagles are concerned, 53 players are on the roster. As of now, obviously, things can change. We still have the 16-man practice squad that needs to be established. As of now, it is 10:40 in the morning on Wednesday, so we don't have practice squad information as of yet. We have a pretty good idea of who may be on that squad, but the 53 men who have cracked the final roster are set as of now. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by the Liberty Line. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Stephen Conrad Jr., my faithful co-host that is here for each and every episode, going on five years, six seasons doing this. I think Stephen has a feel to finally, you know, all the nerd stuff is kind of over with. 50 of the 53 players we knew would be on this roster. How does it feel to kind of see the 2024 team solidified on paper?
The nerd stuff, huh? Is that what
I mean, like, for us, like, who keep track of, like, the fringe bubble players and stuff like that, you know? But obviously, I mean, for 50 of these players, it wasn't a question. It was more so the bubble guys who we were arguing about, the James Bradbury stuff, which we'll talk about in a second.
Let's talk about it right now. No idea why he's still on the team. That's my takeaway from this 53-man roster.
I have a pretty good idea why he's still
on the
team.
I'm not shocked by anything, but the biggest shock to me with this 53-man roster is the fact that James Bradbury survived, and I know you're going to spew off some contract bullshit, cap space nonsense to me. I'll remind you again, Howie Roseman is the GM. He knows what he's doing. There's got to be some sort of way he can maneuver it to get this guy off the team. He should not be on the team. You want to know why he shouldn't be on the team? One, he's washed, but two, he's a vibes killer. He's a vibes killer. You know what I mean? Because there's like that dark cloud over
him.
You see his name and you're upset. He's cooked.
You just see his name. Everyone sees his name and it's just depression because they had the last season at the forefront of their minds. But it makes sense for two different reasons. One is because given the safety depth, I mean, there's no Sidney Brown right now. It's Reed, CJ, Tristan McCollum, who broke the roster, very happy about, and Avante Maddox, who's also coming over from corner to safety. It made sense from a depth perspective, and it certainly makes sense from the cap perspective that I'll be happy to break down for the guys. Maybe Steven's not as enthused to hear about it, but for those that want to understand it, I will be happy to break that down for you guys. But before we get into the intricates of the roster, want to pitch our good friends over at Autograph, who we're happy to partner with for the upcoming 2024 season, co-founded by NFL legend Tom Brady. A legend to us because Nick Foles beat him in the Super Bowl, but a legend nonetheless. Their new app, Autograph, gives diehard fans like you a one-stop shop for all the best fan content for your favorite team. Obviously, for us, it's the Birds, and rewards you for doing what you're already doing as a fan. Things like reading Eagles blogs, listening to Eagles podcasts like this one, all in the app for you guys, engaging with your favorite Eagles fan accounts on social media, and buying Eagles merch and attending Eagles games. For example, you can listen to the Philly Pod anywhere, but when you listen on the Autograph app, you earn coins that can be redeemed for amazing rewards such as free, discounted, no-fee tickets, A-plus memorabilia, and merch and one-of-a-kind experiences. I'll also be creating weekly exclusive content on the Autograph app this season too. I put up a video a couple days ago about my three roster predictions. All were correct, by the way, so 3 for 3 on that. I'll toot my horn there. And you won't want to miss any of the upcoming content that I'll be providing on the app. So download the Autograph app on the App Store as well as Google Play Store today for free, and use the referral code PhillyPod, not the PhillyPod, just PhillyPod, because there's some confusion with the code sometimes. PhillyPod, that's referral code PhillyPod, the Autograph app where your fandom lives. My three predictions, Steven, were James Bradbury.
Really? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. You have a point. Go ahead.
No, just on the Autograph thing. So I obviously use the code, so shout out to me. Even I used it, but...
yeah, and you're an idiot with apps, so...
I need to cleanse my phone. I might need your help.
Yeah, I'm getting to that point where I really need
it. I need it organized. I'm overstimulated anytime I like
you don't
I literally
use folders though. You don't use folders though, do you? It's just apps.
I need somebody to walk me through it. I sound like an old head. I'm only 24.
Yeah, you do. I'm older than you, bro. Come on. I'm 30 old here.
The smartphones are so like overstimulating to me. Like, it's just way easier. Like, we're doing this podcast, I have a giant computer screen in front of me. Like, it's just way easier to be organized on that. Like, it's something about the little phone screen. Maybe I need to get a bigger phone screen. But anyway, I was gonna say real quick about Autograph, I'm excited to see how it performs, you know, once week one is underway. Like, once we're actually like really in the nitty-gritty, you know what I mean? I'm excited to see. Maybe I'll start posting some Tennessee Vols content on there on top of what I do here. But
that is Steven, newfound Tennessee. Ever since our Nashville trip in April, this man has been Vols central. He's Vols gear. He just bought a hat. He's betting on the Vols now. This is a full-blown Vols fan, this guy over here. So when he brings it up, don't be surprised. What's the quarterback name? He's winning Heisman this year, right?
Nico, I am a Valavia, or however you say it. Yeah.
Be on the lookout for that guy.
Obviously, for the Eagles side of things, if I can think off the top of my head, Derek Barnett is obviously from there. Is there any other Eagles? Any other Eagles? I'm trying to think.
The one is enough. the one is enough.
Hey, there might be more. They have a stud edge rusher that's probably going to be a top 10 pick. He's arguably the best player in college football.
Hey, our priorities in next year's draft need to be right tackle and tight end. I think. That should
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't feel great about. I mean, this season is a prove it year for everybody on the edge, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not encouraged by what I've seen or heard. It's preseason, Smith. I mean, let's just be honest.
Speaking of that, I was at Hershey Park on Saturday for my girlfriend's birthday. We saw Pitbull together Saturday.
That was a great.
Steven made an appearance. Very fun. Pitbull in concert. But I missed the preseason game, but I'm checking in like throughout the day, and I'm seeing everybody like raise hell about Nolan Smith. Like, we don't know if he like can be an edge rusher. Patrick Johnson's beating him out. Jalix Hunt is beating him out. I don't know if you can play this guy. Did I miss something that happened with Nolan Smith in this final game? I don't know what happened. I remember checking in Twitter, and everybody is upset about Nolan Smith.
I guess he's just, you know, not really doing anything. He's kind of just out there. I mean, it's
you're not noticing him. Is the problem.
I anticipate he's going to get a high snap count at least to start the season, and like we'll make our judgments then. I am concerned though. I'm a little worried, but I think there's definitely something to it. I wouldn't ignore it. So that's why I mentioned, you know, the edge rusher thing in the draft next year. Like all I'm saying, and like Bryce Huff is he's got talent and there's potential there, but knowing the Eagles, knowing the formula they like to use to build a team, and knowing what it actually takes to win a Super Bowl, like, if they don't get, like, elite production at the edge rusher position this year, that's all I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule them going high in the draft for one, like whatever. You just
it's
never right know.
It's offensive lineman time. I think next year is the year. We've got our receivers. We have our skilled players. I think it's offensive lineman time. But we'll talk about
more than
that,
one
obviously.
Pick, man. They got a first, a second. They do. They had two thirds, but they traded one of them for Dotson.
Jahan Dotson, thankfully. But obviously, we'll talk about all that stuff, you know, next offseason. Now
we'll see, though. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but it's just something to keep an eye on. You know what I mean? Like, don't just assume anything. We got to see it, you know?
Understood. Well, we don't know how the year is going to plan out. All we do know as of now is the initial 53 guys on this roster, and that does include James Bradberry. He was one of my three predictions on the video I did do for Autograph. One was that James Bradberry does make the roster, at least the initial one. Number two, Eli Ricks finds a way. A lot of people are trying to tell me we don't know if Ricks is going to make it. He had to. If he does, if he's on the
more of a fan of him, honestly.
If he's on the practice squad, he won't survive waivers. He would not have survived waivers. Somebody would have signed him in 10 minutes if Eli Ricks was waived. So I felt like that he had to make the roster. And my third prediction was Paris Campbell not making it. I know last podcast I was talking about the possibility of Paris Campbell WR4, and I remember you saying like, "Oh, you think he makes it?" And I was like, "I think so." But when you think about it more, I think
yeah, save the receiver group to me. Like, yeah. as you've seen,
yeah. I think the writing was on the wall with Paris Campbell as soon as that Dotson trade was made.
That's interesting though, because I was a little fearful. Like I thought, like okay, we knew Paris Campbell was washed for what he once was. Is that even fair?
I don't think he was washed. I think he's coming off a terrible season with the Giants. He was good with the Colts like 2 years ago. He's not.
Yeah,
washed.
But like they, I mean,
it's not his fault the Giants suck and are. Suck on offense. Like he's just I don't think he's washed.
Well, apparently the Eagles didn't like what they saw either.
Well, he was hurt throughout training camp, obviously, and he just failed to separate himself from the competition. Right. I think that's before that. before the Dotson trade, it was gonna be by committee. We talked about it all summer long. It's Johnny Wilson, it's Anais, it's Paris Campbell, it's John Ross, it's all this. But then they went and got Dotson, and that threw all of that by the wayside. So once Dotson came in here, I think we all understood that yeah, Paris Campbell probably has a slim shot to make the roster. Certainly John Ross, who was released as well, Paris Campbell, there is rumblings that he could come back on the practice squad. So we'll see what they do there. But yeah, Dotson, you know, got rid of all of that. So those are my predictions. I was happy to go 3 for 3 on that video. So the Bradberry front, we'll start with because
we just got to drop it, man.
He is the highlight. He's the highlight of everything that happened. There was a lot of mixed, I guess, speculation on is he going to make the roster? Are the Eagles just going to cut their losses? The Eagles, regardless if James Bradberry plays for the team or not this season, they are on the hook for his 2024-year salary. Jeff McClain reported yesterday that there was a chance that they could have traded him. They talked with the Titans, who have Denard Wilson, the former DBs coach that was here when Bradberry was good. Denard Wilson is the defensive coordinator in Tennessee, so there was some discussion there as far as sending Bradberry over to the Titans. But even if that was the case, the Eagles, it would have been tough because he's not really an outside corner anymore, and teams don't view him that way, and the transition to safety is still in progress. So the Titans were probably like, nah, we don't really want to do that. So now the Eagles are on the hook for his 2024 salary. They could have the dead cap hit would have been $15 million this year if they had decided to cut him. Post June 1st, it would have been like $4 million this year, then $11 million next year. You could spread it out if you wanted to, or they could have eaten the entire $15 million. If they release him this year, like I just mentioned, $4 million this year, $11 million next year. If they keep him this year, then released him post June 1st next year, they can spread that $11 million over 2025 and 2026. So that's a lot of numbers. That's a lot of figures. The Eagles, for now, are opting to do none of that. We're going to keep him on the roster and hope that he's just an expensive backup and hope we can rely on him. Howie Roseman said that he's a veteran we can count on. So there is that when they spoke after the fact. But at the end of it all, they're going to try and avoid that $15 million cap hit. No matter how you break it up, no matter what years, you want to try and spread it out if they do cut him. It's $15 million cap hit. The Eagles are trying to avoid eating that by keeping him on the roster. And for now, as of August 28th, before week one, James Bradberry remains on this roster. Steven, you feel like you should just cut your losses, take the cap hit, forget it, get rid of James Bradberry. We got bigger fish to fry.
No, I mean, after you broke that down, that's a lot of money to worry about. No, I mean, I will say it is different. Like, you know, it's not ideal, the situation altogether, but it's definitely different that he's not expected to be a starter. I feel like if he was expected to be a starter, that's more of a distraction to the team.
He's not. The minute they drafted Quinyon and Cooper, he wasn't expected to be a starter.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? Like, obviously, in football, as we know, the nature of the sport, injuries can happen. So you just never know if his name may be called.
He'll be on that field in some facet, in that safety rotation. He will. He will be. But I mean, that $15 million is a lot of money. $11 million next year. Like if you cut him, like it's all just the Eagles trying to avoid this cap hit and how they could potentially spread it out if they cut him. But for now, they're on the hook for that salary and they're going to keep him on the roster. The rest of that safety rotation is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Reed Blankenship, Tristan McCollum. And I guess if you want to include Avante Maddox in that mix, you can. But that is how it shakes out. Good on Tristan McCollum, though, for making it, because he had a really good summer. There was a lot of people saying that McCollum should far and away make it over James Bradbury. He's the younger player. He's shown more promise. And this is the first roster he's ever made. So he's been rewarded for his hard work. And I think he's going to have something to show. I cut him in Madden. So I kind of feel bad about that.
I'm pretty sure I did too. I'm not gonna lie to you.
But I think I'm gonna start a new one anyway. Once the roster's updated, I think I'm gonna start a new one, and we'll go from that. To our point, Eli Ricks is the other storyline. He made the roster. There was a lot of debate as to whether we can keep more than five corners between Darius Slay, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Isaiah Rogers, Keely Ringo. Those were the solidified five. Can you swing it and keep Eli Ricks? Can you put him on waivers and pray to God that he makes it? The Eagles obviously came to the conclusion that he would not survive waivers. We are going to keep Eli Ricks. Maybe Howie opts to stash him and trade him down the road. We mentioned about how he could have, how they maybe would have used him to get a receiver out of Houston or something like that. But then they got Donson without needing to do so. So Eli Ricks has put an extra emphasis on tackling this summer. I think that will serve him well on special teams if they use him on special teams, because Josh Job is no longer here, at least for now. He's certainly not on the final 53. So there was like, can you keep Job? Can you justify keeping Job over Ricks because he's a special teams ace? Or can you hope that Eli Ricks takes that extra step in the tackle department and can make up for that? They opted to keep Eli Ricks over Josh Job, and he is now on the final 53. Definitely showed promise in the Dolphins game. Had some good reps on Tyreek Hill. That should be enough to make a team open their eyes and be like, hey, maybe we got something here. But I like Ricks a lot. Undrafted. We even liked him back in the corner. I remember all those years ago, before Eli Ricks was even drafted, he was a potential like number round one or two target. We were talking about Eli Ricks, the Eagles drafting him.
At the time, but then
obviously had a down final year in college. But I like what I've seen from Ricks, and I'm happy that he's on this roster, Steven. I would have been upset if they didn't keep him.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense to me keeping him. That corner room is deep. You feel great about having him at the end of the rotation or whatever. And I honestly thought he like showed some good things last year when he got the opportunity to play. Obviously, it's different than, you know, if you're just asking him to come off the bench and be like an emergency backup or whatever the case may be. He's still young, you know, like who knows, maybe he develops a little bit more. You know, it'll be really interesting to see how the rest of this plays out for the guys in the secondary altogether, not just like corner, because I'd have to imagine with this scheme, these guys are going to be all over the place. You know what I mean? And I feel like Ricks kind of projects really though. It's just like an outside corner though, right? I mean, that's,
yeah, he's outside guy.
Got a good length and seems pretty athletic to me, so it is funny, though. I totally forgot when you had said that. I guess he was. I remember seeing his name a year ahead of time mocked as the best corner.
And we were like, we need to go get Eli Ricks, like back in whatever year that was when we were talking about it. So we were happy to get him as an undrafted free agent, and he showed flashes last year, and I'm certainly happy.
Who knows? Maybe he turns into like a Jalen Mills for us, just like a big school kid ends up falling in the draft, and he's just like a very reliable rotation guy. Well, Mills was a starter, obviously, but you know what I mean. I mean, just somebody who kind of.
I understand.
I mean, when you're drafted, was he undrafted?
Yes, undrafted. Yep.
Damn. Eagles got him as undrafted. When, you know, when that happens, the expectations are pretty low. So,
right, right.
Talk about maximizing value.
And I think he'll show out in special teams. And I think that the decision to keep him over Jobe was a good one by the Eagles. So that very happy to see that the cornerback roster. As
that was
now,
a conversation for a while between those two.
It was because they were like, Jobe's our best special teams here. You can't get rid of him, but then you can't play him on defense. So, you know, you got to weigh both the scenarios there. So for the cornerbacks for the Eagles, Darius Slay, Quinyon Mitchell, who's likely to start in the slot, Keely Ringo, Cooper DeJean, Isaiah Rogers, Eli Ricks. Good, solid six cornerbacks there. They'll bring some guys back on the practice squad. We'll see what names they decide to bring back in that department. Sean Stevens, I think, is probably a guy. We'll talk about that at that juncture. One of the shockers of this, I guess there's, well, not really two, but I guess one of the shockers is who the hell is playing backup center now if they need to. So Cam Jurgens is the lone center on the roster. They cut draft pick Dylan McMahon, who I thought had a good summer, and he's a smaller, undersized center, but he's a guy who's athletic, and you could certainly develop. You would think the Eagles would like to keep him around to develop him. I expect him to be on the practice squad if he makes it there. But I'm shocked to see him not make this roster. He's the one guy you look up and down everybody's roster predictions. They had Dylan McMahon making it, and it's a shock that he didn't. So now what happens is they're likely going to elevate guys to have to play backup center if Jurgens gets hurt or what the case is. I guess Landon Dickerson could play backup center in a pinch because they have guard depth. So do they slide him over and play and then use one of their guards? Is that going to be the situation? But they waived guys that waived slash release guys that could have played. That Brett Toth is no longer here. Dylan McMahon is gone. And now Nick Gates is no longer here either. So what are we doing at backup center? What's that?
Isn't Matt Hennessy still on the roster?
No, he's gone. He was released. He had a very bad summer. He wasn't even getting like 13 reps anymore.
What about
Sherping?
Sherping, is that his name?
He was the first guy released.
They got rid of all the guys that can play center.
Yep, that's it. There's no centers on the roster besides Jurgens.
That can play center. I'm not saying, you know.
Yeah, well, Landon, slide him over if you have to, but like do you want to you know, mess around with the offensive line?
Those Cornhuskers are some tough guys. He's going to be playing through. I don't know.
Yeah, so that was a shock to me. Your thoughts on having no backup center on the roster right now, Steven? Again, it's early. Initial 53. Things will change. But as of now, nobody's backing up Cam Jurgens on that roster.
Yeah, I mean, not great. I guess, like you said, is Dickerson the alternative? And I'm not saying you need to sign or have just like a guy that can only play center. I'd imagine somebody that can give you guard slash center depth, although they got rid of two guys that gave you that.
They would play Dickerson at center and play like Trevor Keegan at left guard is their plan, I guess, for now.
I don't know what the thinking is. I mean, maybe there's somebody else out there. Maybe he's going to snag somebody off somebody's practice squad. I don't freaking know. That's above my pay grade. The Hennessy thing's tough though, because if you remember, he played at Temple, so yeah, that's why
he was
I asked.
He just got worse and worse. Like by the end of summer, he wasn't even with the third team. Like he was just that wasn't happening. I thought Nick Gates maybe had a chance. They brought him in late, but yeah, that didn't happen either. I do want to bring up the distinction. Somebody had asked me on Twitter the distinction between released and waived players that are waived. Who have spent, I believe it's 4 years and under in the league. You get waived, you get placed on waivers, teams can claim you, and then you go to the team that claims you. When you're released, veteran players get released, so those players are just free agents. They're free to sign with any team. So waived players go on waivers, released players become free agents. Somebody asked me the difference between the two, because some people think it's synonymous. Similar, but not quite. So younger players get waived, get claimed on. That's why Eli Ricks it wasn't placed on waivers because there's no shot that somebody wouldn't have claimed him. And then veterans like Matt Hennessy, John Ross, Paris Campbell, those guys are now free agents. They can sign with whoever. So that is the difference there.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair. With Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I want to bring up Anaya Smith, who was placed on injured reserve after the final preseason game. There was reported shoulder or ankle soreness, something like that. I'll get the actual info in a second. But they reported an injury after the final preseason game. And now, so the Eagles are bailed out by not having to place him on waivers if they didn't want to keep him on the roster. He is now on injured reserve, saved from waivers, and doesn't count towards the final 53. So interesting IR maneuvering by Howie Roseman there, Steven, to save our guy, Anaya Smith, who is coming on. He had 6 catches in the final preseason game. He was having good showings at practice. He was coming on and turning a corner. Now, whether it's a real injury, if it's a real injury, that sucks. If it's a phantom injury to protect him from waivers, I get it. But Anaya Smith survives. He won't be placed on waivers. So hang around for a little bit, Steven.
You know, obviously the Dotson trade, you know, that look, I mean, we were banking on a rotation there because we didn't feel great about any one name. But after that trade, I was a little concerned about him. I'm like, damn, I wonder what they're going to do here. Like, are we going to lose him? Like, what's going to happen here?
I thought they were just going to carry 6 receivers, like him and Johnny Wilson both, and Britton Covey and the top three.
How he was going to respond then, like the moves following that trade was going to be very telling about what they thought about him, and this kind of tells you, like, he's kind of similar in my opinion. It's a little different, but it's similar to the Rick situation where he's still just like a young player, and you would rather keep a younger guy than just like another vet.
There's no shot how he was going to cut like a 5th round pick he just took.
Yeah, and that's where he is different than Ricks. He's literally, this is his rookie year. But I think it'll be good for him. I mean, it took him a while kind of coming in here to this, you know, this Eagles organization, and just like he's going through some growing pains, obviously some tough injury luck, everything like that. He's a rookie. But no better situation, I think, in my opinion, for him, because just come in here, learn behind these guys. Like that's something I can't stress enough. That's why I feel good about keeping Ricks here. Really, the whole receiver group as a whole now is super young.
There's only 5 of them as of now. AJ,
they're super
Devontae.
Young though, man. Like yeah. Off the top of my head, AJ is AJ 26?
27.
Smitty's got to be like 23.
Smitty is 25.
25. Covey's young. I'm sure he's 27.
Jahan Dotson is 24. Devontae Smith is 25. A.J. Brown is 27. All under contract.
Johnny Wilson's young too, right?
The next 2 years. Yeah, I mean, they're rookies. Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, it's a young group. Well, okay, I almost said cost effective. I mean, that's the other ticker here.
They're cost controlled.
Cost controlled, obviously, but that's the other thing here too is it is what makes the Dotson trade just an absolute home run. Literally, or it's a grand slam in my opinion. The value you're getting there, that he still's got a few years left on his deal, and the talent's there, the fit
is
there.
If I told you Britton Covey was older than AJ Brown, would you believe it?
I had a feeling he was, you know? I had a feeling.
Yeah, he's 27. His birthday's in March. AJ just turned 27 in June, I believe.
But now you feel really good. Like, Johnny Wilson makes a ton of sense. Well, the thing I just don't understand with him, with Johnny Wilson, is, like, they were playing him in the slot as a big slot, which I think people overreact to that way too much. First of all, let's just talk about it. Kellen Moore, our offensive coordinator, literally did that. What city do they play in? LA?
They're Los Angeles now.
Los Angeles Chargers. he was moving bigger guys in the slot. I don't know why people act like it's something that's unheard of. Like, look, come on, guys. How much do we see the game change in the NFL? Like, I'm not saying every team in the league is going to start using big slots, but it's not like this like taboo thing. Obviously, most slots are smaller players, so you can move them around, get them off the ball and everything like that, right? But Johnny Wilson is huge, so I'm just a little stunned that I don't know if was it an issue where they didn't have anybody they could play in the slot that much, like, or is he not good on the outside? Like, what is it? You know what I mean?
Talk about Florida State.
Here.
Oh, well.
Oh, he was a beast in college.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter here. Well, they have, AJ and Devontae, you can play anywhere. And now Jahan Dotson, who's played over 1,000 career snaps outside and has played 530 career snaps in the slot. Your top three receivers now.
Versatility,
your top three receivers now can line up anywhere. So Johnny Wilson's just going to play wherever they put him. It's not designed by position.
You don't feel great. Well, okay. The thing with the wide receiver three, it wasn't 100% about finding a guy who complements AJ and Devontae. It's about finding somebody who can fill in for him if need be.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think the Dotson trade fills two roles. It gives you obviously a good wide receiver three, but it also gives you an insurance policy if AJ or Devontae get injured. Obviously, so
the real question though, who's
like Jahan Dotson was the two? Oh, the four. Well, we'll find out. I think. The Texans released Noah Brown. So obviously the familiarity with Kellen Moore, I think the Eagles will take a long look there. And if you can get Noah Brown as a four, I think that's a very good option.
I'm so intrigued with Johnny Wilson though.
Yeah, they're going to use him. It's not like they're not going to use him. He'll
get
looks.
I'll touch on Britton Covey in a second, because if anybody is familiar with this podcast, everybody must think I'm like his biggest fan or something like that. I'm not going to be rocking.
I certainly do.
I mean, he's a great punt returner. Let's just call
it's
what it
boys,
is.
It's white boys stick together. That's what it is. That's what I thought it was all summer. No? He has good hands, though. He caught everything in camp. He had like one drop, if that. So he caught everything he can. It's just that you can't play him anywhere but the slot. His body frame won't allow it.
Yeah, I mean, he's like Greg Ward. That's essentially who he is. He's Greg Ward. Tell me he's not.
Greg Ward released by the Colts, by the way. Damn.
But he's Greg Ward. Like, Greg Ward just, like, remember, like, he just
he's,
kept finding
he's more,
a way.
He's more dynamic. He's more dynamic than Greg Ward, though. Like, he can make stuff happen with the ball in his hand.
Wow.
Greg Ward, even when Greg Ward was a punt returner, like, we didn't expect anything. He got you 7 yards, and that was that.
But
Britton Covey gives you 20, 30-yard punt returns.
Isn't that so interesting, though? Like, you look at him, and he's like, I mean, yeah, he's quick. He's short, and he's quick, and he's a smart player. But it's just like, nothing about him jumps off the page. He just, like, finds it. Like, it's just interesting in the NFL. Like, you can't always base everything off, like, you know, 40 times and all that kind of stuff. But the thing with Johnny Wilson, I'll say again, and, like, there's all these little wrinkles I'm so excited to see. Obviously, it's a new offense. I want to see how everybody's used. But, man, like, I'm just thinking, when you're in the red zone,
yeah,
obviously
that's
the
where
Eagles,
they'll use it most.
The Eagles try and push to get to those short yardage situations where they can just bully you, even without Kelce, to just bully you. I mean, with the tush push, they got Saquon now. You feel great about that. But I'm thinking even a little bit more, like, you're a little bit further back, depending on the situation, like you can go huge on people. You can have AJ out there, Dallas Goedert. You can throw Johnny Wilson. Like you got red zone targets.
You're like 15 yards out, like any the playbook is open at that point. You can do Johnny Wilson fade route.
Like Dotson, the thing with Dotson is like Commanders fans. I mean, they're probably shitting on him now. That's kind of the thing you do as a fan base when a player leaves like that, or you trade one away. You only think about the negatives with him. But Dotson can play like he can, for his size, he can play above the rim. Like he has the ability. He's a little inconsistent with it, but he can get up and make.
He's good at the catch point. He's very good at the catch point. And the guy
Penn State, that's for sure.
And the guy that gets lost in all this is Dallas Goedert up the seam. Like, what are they going to do? Safety is going to roll down to try and guard Dallas Goedert? That's the other thing.
I don't know what Jalen Hurts' like passing touchdown betting line is set at, but that's for me. I mean, I got up on here last podcast and told you it's got to be low. I told you we got to get him to the 5,000-yard passing mark, but maybe that's a little premature. I want to see him throw more passing touchdowns. I want to see more of that this season.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a mix of all. Well, I can't assume his line is going to be that high with Saquon here
now. It's probably like 22.5.
It's gotta be low 20s if I had to guess. Speaking of WR3s, recent Eagles WR3s, Quez Watkins released by the Steelers. If you can't crack that depth chart.
I just got the chill as soon as you said his name. Don't even
that
say
depth
it.
Chart is like not great. After Deontay Johnson left, he's on the Panthers now. It's George Pickens, Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, who's a rookie.
They should have
Van Jefferson.
I wonder, were they linked to Dotson? That makes a lot of sense. They love to get. I mean,
they were linked to Ayuk more than anybody.
They like to get Penn State players over there. So
they were linked to Ayuk more than anybody. But that if you can't crack that depth chart, there's an issue. And that guy was our WR3, so that tells you. About that, I have one more thing I want to make note. I want to make about the roster, but real quick before that, NFC East news. In an effort to revitalize the 2016s, the great running backs of 2016, the Cowboys have signed Dalvin Cook. So Zeke, Dalvin Cook backfield, which would be dirty in 2017. That would have been something to be scared of maybe 6 years ago, but now they are together. Back again in Dallas now in 2024. So that is good luck, Dallas, trying to figure that out. Good on them for paying CeeDee Lamb, though, because that would have been a disastrous thing if they didn't get that done. But he got his money now, and now Jerry Jones seems like he's motivated to try and do some things. So Dalvin Cook now in Dallas. I'm sure that he is cooked because the Jets didn't even use him. So we'll see what happens on that front in Dallas. So my final thought on this roster, as far as the Eagles are concerned, I think so. We have the quarterbacks, obviously, Jalen Hurts, Kenny Pickett, Tandon McKee. The running backs are set: Saquon Barkley, Kenny Gainwell, Will Shipley. You have your five receivers, and when it comes down to the offense, the two tight end thing the Eagles are now doing. So it's Dallas Goedert, it's Grant Calcaterra. They've released, they waived E.J. Jenkins, who I thought was going to be tight end three once C.J. Uzomah wasn't brought back. I thought E.J. Jenkins impressed the preseason. He had some good plays in camp, but they waived him. I expect him to be back on the practice squad. But, Steven, I think one thing that altered his chances of being on this roster was the Giants getting rid of familiar face, former friend, great blocking guy, can't really catch, Jack Stahl. The Giants released Jack Stahl, and the Eagles like him, not for nothing. So I think once they made him available, they looked at EJ Jenkins and they're like, man, we like this guy, but we have a guy who can block in Jack Stahl, who's no longer with the Giants, so maybe we can look to bring him back. But for now, it's just two tight ends on the roster with Dallas Goedert and Grant Calcaterra. The Giants need all the blocking they can get, so the fact that they're getting rid of Stahl, I don't know what is going on over there. But your thoughts on the little two tight ends we got on the roster, what you anticipate will happen with that position moving forward? We need to draft one at some point. Yep. I'm shocked we didn't draft one. Uzama's gone. Albert O is on injured reserve. I think the Albert O thing kind of needs to end now. I know he has all the tools, but this man can't get on the field. He's on IR now with Anaya Smith. What are we doing at tight end, Steve?
Yeah, Stahl immediately jumps off the page just because of the fit and familiarity, and obviously the combination of him and Calcaterra did a little platoon action. There's that word platoon. Again. Last season when Goedert was out of action for a little bit. I would do that right away. He's literally the polar opposite of Calcaterra, so it's kind of interesting. He's not a zero like he's caught balls before, but like again, it makes a lot of sense here. Regardless, even if the Eagles have a little bit of an injury scare, maybe Goddard has to miss some time. Like it's you can slide Stall in there. It's no big deal. I mean, Calcaterra apparently has flashed.
Hurts won't look at him to complete a pass, but you could throw him in there. But you could say.
I'm intrigued to see how Calcaterra has developed, though. You know, and it'll be really interesting to see.
He's had a good summer.
Like it's really this is where it gets really interesting with the Eagles because as we know, Kellen Moore likes to throw out as many passing options as he can out there. He'll throw out four receivers. I mean, maybe he'll throw out multiple running backs. He's going to have Saquon lined up as a receiver. I'm sure Kenny Gainwell will probably see some of that as well. Coming out of college, that was his skill set, you know, and we're not talking about that a lot. Like, yeah, you paid Saquon all this money, and I'm not going to go argument again, but like,
hey, Will Shipley is going to get his targets too.
Yeah, right? I mean, I'd imagine he'll be sprinkled in there a little bit, but as things currently stand, I'd imagine Kenny Gainwell's their running back too. Apparently, he is. Looked quicker, I guess. I mean, at the end of the day, his skill set coming out of college, what intrigued me so much at the time, he was one of my guys just because of his ability to receive as a running back. So
I saw somebody on Twitter say the other day, bring Boston Scott back, like over Kenneth Gainwell or something.
All right,
like
man.
That.
Like this
Boston
is where
Scott signed with the Steelers, by the way. He signed with the Steelers on the practice squad.
Like it was frustrating last year. It felt like Gainwell was getting a lot of touches, and it felt like
that week one game where it was like 20 touches for Kenneth Gainwell, and then like week two. I guess the Eagles remembered, oh, shit, we signed DeAndre Swift. We should use this.
What would you do? It's not going to happen. I'm not even going to say it.
Week one, Saquon gets like four touches, and it's the Kenny Gainwell show. I'll hurt myself.
Yeah, so, and then as far as tying this in with Calcaterra, I'm just very interested to see how he's utilized in the offense. Like, do they trust him enough to throw him out there with those? Because, yeah, like you said, his weakness is blocking. So like if he's out there, you'd have to imagine it's in passing downs, passing situations, mm-hmm. whatever they're mm-hmm. deploying. So it'll just be interesting to see. Obviously, Dotson coming here changes a lot. You're definitely going to want to have those three guys out there on passing situations. But as far as what they do after that, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. You know what I mean?
Funny thing about what you had mentioned about the receivers and the way Kellen Moore is kind of structuring his offense, I think what also went into the decision of only keeping two tight ends for now is the usage of their three wide receiver sets this preseason. They used 11 personnel at the 12th highest rate in the preseason. That's a woeful change from the Doug Peterson days of 12 personnel, 12, 12, 12, 12 personnel. They used three wide receiver sets at the 12th highest rate. They used 68% of the time they were in three wide receiver sets. That has Kellen Moore written all over it. So we're definitely going to be seeing the third wide receiver over the second tight end more often than not. So I think that's why the Eagles made that decision. We're going to see fourth wide receiver more than we're going to see third tight end, that's for sure. So they were like, I think the fourth wide receiver is more important than the third tight end. We're going to keep more receivers.
Oh, yeah.
They have five on the roster now. They'll bring in six. At some point, whether it's Noah Brown or somebody that they had here over the summer, Paris Campbell, whatever the case is. But when you look at those stats and the way they're using 11 personnel, that certainly factors into the amount of usage that goes into the wide receivers as well as the tight ends. So I think that factored into it as well.
Kellen Moore's a very intelligent offensive mind.
He's calculated. Calculated.
The thing with him, and it helps that he has the guys to do it here. Like A.J. Brown's a three-level receiver. Devontae Smith's a three-level receiver. I would consider Dotson one of those two, honestly. Goddard is honestly like a three-level tight end, if we're being honest, too. So
yeah, for sure.
The idea is to spread it out, be a threat at every level of the field. Obviously, you want to have the vertical aspect of the passing game, but in order to do that, you need to be able to have the other stuff available to you as well. Hopefully the checkdowns are a big part of it. That's something we want to see Hurts. We want to see Hurts get to. So it'll just mm-hmm. be interesting to see.
He was
see,
doing it. I will say Hurts has been checking down the most this summer than he has like since his Eagles career started. Like this is obviously with Saquon here, but we said the same thing last summer with Swift. They were using Swift in motion and doing all this stuff last summer, and then they just didn't do that during the season.
Yeah, and like you want it to be a threat. So like the fact you have downfield guys, like that's why it was so frustrating last year. You even though it was Gainwell and Swift, I mean compared to like Barkley now and whoever else they may use, you got the guys to do it. So like it can be really a really effective part of the offense. The other thing I wanted to say real quick, I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I'm a toxic Eagles fan. You're sitting here talking about the type of personnel Kellen Moore has been prone to throw out there. I couldn't help but think, I can't. You mentioned the Doug Peterson era with 12-man personnel. Do you remember the Chip Kelly era? Like, I think it was early on. He would throw like four fucking tight ends out there. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he didn't care. It was straight, it was like strong eye formation. We're going to do three tight ends, two running backs. And he had fucking Sam Bradford back there. The pistol with Sam Bradford and DeMarco Murray. Yeah. I went back to watch. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode. I went back to watch just how bad the DeMarco stuff was back during that time. Too. That Dallas game, 8 rushes for negative 15 yards.
I just don't know how that's possible, especially
in that week 2 Dallas game. That was depressing. Byron Maxwell got toasted by Terrence Williams. At one point in that game, DeMarco Murray had 8 rushes for negative 15 yards. That's how bad it was.
There was legit question mark. Like, this is why football, okay, obviously it's a team sport, but like, you need to bring talent in at like individuals we're talking about at this point. And that's what the Eagles, Howie's done a phenomenal job over the last few years. But it's kind of crazy how you saw it last year, how if the ship is sinking, so to speak, like it affects everything. And this is where it dates back to the long tenured career of Jason Kelce. Like, he had a really bad year that year with Chip Kelly, and that was when people were wondering if he was even going to be the center for the team moving forward, if you remember, you know what I mean?
So he wasn't racking up all pros till like 2016.
It's just like crazy, like, people forget that.
Jason Kelce didn't become he didn't become an all-pro player till like 2016, so that was some guys just take longer to develop.
And then he turns into a Hall of Famer, you know. Crazy to think about.
He just got like a 7-figure deal with Amazon for New Heights. So good on the Kelces for that. Speaking of players that take a little bit to develop, these edge rushers, this edge group, to your point, little concerning. So you got Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, Patrick Johnson is your edge rushing group. I don't want to say concerning. I'll say unproven, I think is the word I will use for this. A lot of unproven guys with edge rusher. And getting after the quarterback, as we all know, the Eagles live and die by the trenches, and these edges without Hassan Reddick here now, they're gonna have to prove something. We're gonna need to see something out of Nolan Smith. Jalix Hunt is shown some stuff throughout the summer. Patrick Johnson makes another final 53. I think he has every year since he's been here. Patrick Johnson continues to make these rosters, but he's a guy that's turning a corner as well. Your overall thoughts on this edge rusher group, and what's your confidence level? I guess like 1 out of 10 in this group.
I'm just such an open book. I'm not ready to crown anybody. Obviously, like, I trust Howie. Like, he's done, like, we've said time and time again, the Bryce Huff move kind of resembles the Reddick one. A lot of people forget at the time, Reddick was a solid player. We all thought he had potential, but when Howie paid him, the reaction amongst Eagles fans, but even the NFL, was like, huh, I mean, it's a lot of money for a guy that's kind of just like, we're not 100%
sure. One trick pony at the time.
About the guy, you know? So I'm not ready to crown Huff or anything like that. He's got to go out there and show it. I think he can be that guy. He can be a starting edge rusher on this team for the
Vic
future.
Vic Fangio certainly wasn't crowning him at the beginning of summer. He was like, can he do it? Maybe. Maybe. We all know. We'll have to see. I'm like, dang, your coach is saying this? But Bryce Huff heard. No, I think he was saying that about run defending, actually. Is he a guy who can play every down? Is he a guy who can play the run? And Vic Fangio was like, I don't know. We'll find out. So that was funny. Go ahead.
I mean, but it comes down to the whole D line as a whole. Obviously, you want that position group to, you know, you want some of those guys to solidify themselves as legitimate guys in this league. But it's gonna come down to, like, let's be honest. It's gonna come down to Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis on the inside. Like, if those guys can, I believe in Jalen Carter. Like, there's no question in my mind. I think he's gonna be one of the best in the league. But you want to see Jordan Davis take that next step. It only improves the defensive line and makes lives for everybody else easier. And I'd have to imagine, like, real quick, obviously Brandon Graham, all-time great, but it took him a while to develop in this league. It took him quite some time. And I'd have to imagine, again, he was
playing. People are saying Nolan Smith is taking the Brandon Graham trajectory.
Let's hope so. You know what I mean? Let's hope so. Obviously, Brandon Graham is still on this team, so that helps. You got that veteran voice, veteran guy to be around. But, you know, as far as what I was saying about Brandon Graham, he played alongside Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox was an immediate impact as soon as he came in, but arguably second best defensive tackle of that entire era, like a decade of just dominant football. You know what I mean? So it's kind of similar. It's funny how it's just so funny. Maybe we're just because we're so involved with this Eagles team, we can find similarities over, you know, this last decade of Eagles football, but it's just funny. It's right here in front of us. You're seeing like the Fletcher Cox Brennan Graham dynamic 2.0, you would think, in a way, right? Because they got those, you got the interior guy and more of a project guy in Nolan Smith on the outside. I mean, who knows, you know?
Yeah, we can only hope that Nolan Smith, you know, makes take the strides necessary to become a reliable edge rusher. Thomas Booker made the roster as a defensive tackle as well. He had a good summer. Happy to see him make it. Linebackers, off-ball linebackers, Devin White, N'Kobe Dean, Zach Bond, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Ben Van Sumerim. A lot of people wanted the Eagles to go after that Rams linebacker that became available in trade, but he ended up going to the Titans, I believe. So the Eagles look like they are content with what they have. Ernest Jones was the available linebacker. But the Eagles look content. We're going to do Bond. We're going to do Devin White. We're going to do N'Kobe Dean, and we're going to see what happens. So that seems to be the plan at linebacker. Happy to see Ben Van Sumerim make it. He's a guy that's been pretty reliable as far as the last few years have gone. So I think that is a good move as well. So good to see that. Other notes here. Ajomo made the roster. Obviously, Marlon Tuipulotu continues to make it.
Is it weird that I'm not saying I'm not worried at all, but I'm just not that, oh boy, I can't believe I'm saying this. I hope it doesn't come back to bite me. I really do. I am not that worried about the linebacker position.
Go on.
I mean, like,
based on what? Based on like a Devin White comeback season or N'Kobe Dean taking the next step? Like, what is that like based on?
The combination of both. I mean, because the thing is, like, it's been so bad here. It was so bad here at that position last year. Like,
Nicholas Morrow was playing the position last year.
I mean, it has to get better.
We had Zach Cunningham, who was here for like 2 weeks.
And I think they'll benefit from the talent around them. They're pretty much better at every position on defense, right? I mean, again, you're panning on guys to develop and work out. Obviously, in the secondary, there's a lot of new names, fresh faces. But at the end of the day, they got two first-round talents out there that we'd imagine are going to play heavy snaps. Chauncey's back. Upgrade at safety, even at his age. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. Just need Dean to stay healthy. It's clearly an upgrade with Devin White. Trotter seems to have surpassed early expectations. I don't know what Eagles fans about him, but he seems to have. He seems like a smart guy. He seems to be in the right places at all the right times from when I've watched him so far.
He's preseason. On track to be a heavy special teams contributor this year, I think. I think he'll be good for that.
I guess the only worry I would have, and again, this comes down to Fangio figuring this stuff out, is like, I'd have to imagine opposing offenses, when they play us, they're still going to attack that position. It's still the weaker part. Yep. You know, it's the weaker part of the defense, but
you'll go to them before he goes to the corners, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, that position group just sucked last year. They were not good at all from a talent perspective, and they seem to not be in the right places at the right times whatsoever. Comes down to a lot of things, and I think they have smart guys at that position too, and they have a smarter defensive coordinator for that matter too. So that's a big one.
That's why I don't think they went after Ernest Jones.
I'm just not sitting here like, I don't know what the consensus is among the fan base.
I mean, it's not like code red, like, holy fuck, we need to fix this. Like,
but I'm not sitting here like, oh my God, N'Kobe Dean needs to pan out. He needs to be a great linebacker. Like, I'm not sitting here doing that. I mean, he needs to just be healthy and be out there. He has potential. He's shown some, flashed.
You think Nolan Smith is under more pressure than N'Kobe Dean this
year? Like, I'm more concerned about that stuff. This team, like, whenever they make long runs, they're able to get at the quarterback. So I'm concerned about that defensive line altogether. And obviously, edge rusher has more of my attention right now. That's what I'm paying attention to. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, Nolan Smith was what? Was he a first-round pick too, late first?
Yeah, late first, 30th.
So, you know.
At the end of the, you got to get after the quarterback.
You invested, like, and it's an investment, too. Like, you paid Bryce Huff, so, like, my attention is there right now. You need those guys to play.
Makes sense. That's why they didn't go after Ernest Jones, because, number one, you would have had to give up another draft pick after you just gave up one for Jahan Dotson. Number two, he's left because he wants a contract extension. How he's certainly not worried about paying a linebacker right now. So that's
yeah, like
reasons.
The linebackers by default just have to be better. And my thing is, like,
and I think Devin White will be good. He hasn't done a lot this summer. Like, Devin White hasn't, like, there's nothing that I've seen from him that made me like, oh man, he's about to have a great year. Like, I think, but he hasn't messed up either. He's just
well, the thing with him, so. I think just due to his experience and his skill set, like, another underrated aspect about this defense was, like, And maybe it was just literally a product of how bad the pass defense was. I feel like their run defense was a little suspect at times. And I just feel like he'll help in that aspect. And just you just hope he's not toast in pass coverage, you know?
Yeah, you just gotta hold up against the pass, I think. And if you can get after the quarterback, that'll help out pass coverage a lot, I think. So to your point, edge rusher should be the emphasis. And I think that's where a lot of our...
I mean, the Niners' whole game plan, that's why they kicked the shit out of us, was like, we're going after the linebackers, and that's what happened.
Yep, and they did, and that's why Morrow and them got toasted that game. So that is that. But yeah, that is about all we have on this initial 53-man roster for now. We'll see what happens with the practice squad later on. Other moves will follow as week one approaches. We're less than 2 weeks now away from Brazil, Eagles versus Brazil. So we'll keep an eye on everything as the roster continues to develop over time. Appreciate you guys for checking this episode out of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. Thanks to a lot of you for keeping up with the tracker I provided as far as the roster moves. I had a tracker that I was updating with every move all the way up until the deadline. A lot of people enjoyed that, so thank you guys for keeping up with that tracker as the deadline moved along and as roster cuts moved along. It's a fun time for us to keep track of all that stuff. And yeah, now we heads move towards week one, and we can't wait for it. Be sure to subscribe, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave reviews, rate 5 stars, all that stuff does help with the exposure of the show. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Until then, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod. Woo!
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.